Psalm 119, I draw your attention this morning to the verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. A window for the Lord. A window for the Lord is our subject this morning. Here's a verse we have to pause at because you see it has this word, behold. And it is the only occurrence of it in this whole psalm. So it wants to get our attention. It wants us to pause. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're just focusing on this one verse. Now, I said last week that this section of this psalm, 119, this room, we could call it the window room, because the emphasis has been upon our looking, our beholding, our seeing, our understanding. But this last verse is different because the psalmist wants the Lord to do the beholding. Here the psalmist is providing a window for the Lord. Here, Lord, look, behold. Look at the heart. So it's the believer's window for God. And there are three things in this verse that I want to leave with you. There is, first of all, a story. I have longed after thy precepts. And then there is a sincerity. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. And then there's a supplication. Quicken me in thy righteousness. So the story then, first of all, this testimony that David relates to the Lord, it's an inner story. It is the story of a longing in his heart. It's the story of hungering and thirsting that he has within. It's the story of David's interior spiritual life. David, you see, is a man of desires, as we all are. We're all men of desires. But David here is a man of spiritual desires. He uses this word again in verse 174. I have longed for thy salvation. Here's a man who craves the salvation of God, who craves the word of God. In verse 20, he says something similar. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. It's breaking his soul, the desire. It's not just a wee frivolous wish. It's a longing, it's a yearning that he has. And this is a desire, congregation, for the things of God. He's hungry for God's word. He has what we would call a spiritual appetite. We all have appetites, longings and desires. And by the pinings of the heart, one can know the state of one's own heart before God. And the desire that David has is not one that is found in unconverted sinners at all. Now, sinners desire many things, but God's word and God's salvation, they're not among them. They don't seek the things of God. They long for other things. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. No appetite for the Lord amongst the peoples of the world. No hungering and thirsting after righteousness unless God's grace gets into the heart. David here is one into whose heart the grace of God has come and created new spiritual desires. Job was not only a righteous man, he was a very wise man, a very discerning and understanding man, and he could sum up things pretty well, and he certainly summed up the wicked well when he said, they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. So you see that there's no desire for God or the ways of God in the hearts of the wicked. And you need not be surprised, child of God, when you do evangelism and that the wicked rebuff you. They long that God would depart from them. And don't be surprised that they would wish to see you to depart from them as well in your evangelism. Sinners have a perverted longing, a twisted longing. In fact, the Bible says, how much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. They have an appetite for the filthiness. They hunger and thirst for sin, longing for the things of the world. Not only do they long for the things of the world, but that longing is restless, it's changing, it's always having different forms. You know the saying, the world's latest crave, I've longed for thy precepts. That's never going to become the world's latest crave. It's only grace that can give that appetite. And so Christians have to guard themselves, don't they? Lest carnal longings become uppermost in our hearts. We have to be careful, especially that we guard our desire for God's word and that does not wane. What did Peter say? As newborn babes, desire. Keep on desiring the sincere milk of the word. And any of you that have had babies, you will know what that craving is in them. A restless craving for the milk of the mother. And that's what God wants in his people. That kind of craving. I've longed for thy precepts. But we have to be on the guard that we don't lose it. And we have to pray that even that it will intensify. Even the Christian church, Paul has warned us that within it, the longing for God's word will deteriorate. Because he wrote to Timothy, and he said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned on to fables. So here is within the Christian church, Paul is warning there'll be people arising. They'll not want ministers of the truth. They'll not want solid grounded ministers who give the solid meat of God's word. They'll have itching ears to hear other things, to have stories, to have amusements, to have fables, something that's not solid. Why is there that occurring at all within the church? It's because the heart is turning away from the Lord and losing the appetite for him and for his truth. And we have to guard, people of God, that we want the word and we want the Lord and the things of God. The Savior tells us that the love of many will wax cold. It will wane. He's talking about professing Christians now. That is, their longing for the Lord and for the things of the Lord will wane and disappear. And we'll have professing Christians without spiritual desires. And we have to guard against that, don't we? Those who have God's word and know God's word, they ought to have the greatest longings for it. God's word ought to become addictive. That's the way it ought to be. Not something you get tired of, but you want more and more of. God's word is like magnetism. It ought to be to the saints. Some companies, you know, they are reputed to put addictive ingredients into some foods, and I don't know the truth of that. Certainly some foods seem to be addictive. You know, you always have a craving for them. Now, that's wrong if that's being done deliberately to make us addicted to their food, but God's grace makes his word addictive in a holy way, in a righteous way to his people. That's the way it should be, and the more we get of the word, the more we want of it, the more wonderful it seems, the more we want to drink more of it. Getting it once or twice doesn't satisfy. It's like the hymn, I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting just to hear it like the rest. In other words, years of gospel preaching hasn't waned it. They're still hungering and thirsting just to hear it like the newborn saints. That's the way it should be. And if we've been kept away from it, the longing should be all the greater. The absence makes the heart all the more desirous. And whenever we're kept away from the word and from God's house because of sickness or whatever, it should make it all the more longing for it again. All men long to be happy, but God's people long to be holy. God's people are more interested in being conformed to Christ than being comforted. They have a longing for the blessedness and the happiness that comes through likeness to Christ. The Savior said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Truly blessed indeed. David is continually revealing his spiritual cravings, his desire for the things of God. Psalm 42, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Oh, when shall I come and appear before him? When shall I get into his presence? When can I enjoy him? Psalm 84, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, the parched world. But I long for thee. And so David's longing is a longing to be conformed to the word. He emphasizes the precepts. I've longed for thy precepts. Now, he might have said promises. He might have used some other word. But he says it's for the precepts. He wants to be conformed to the Lord. He wants to walk in a way that pleases God. He wants to know God's mind and God's will. This is a longing for godliness. He is thus truly showing himself to be a born-again man when this longing is present in his heart. And so this verse calls us then, congregation, to examine our hearts, to examine the desires of our hearts. You know, the heart is a complex thing, of course. We all know that. We don't even really know ourselves. There are so many desires. Many are good and essential desires, but there are desires that have to be weeded out. And there are desires that especially have to be encouraged, fed and nourished. And so we have to ask God to take away some longings, and we have to ask him to give us other longings. Maybe we need to say, Lord, I can't say this verse this morning the way I would like. Forgive me, Lord. You can put this longing in my heart. Give me the longing. Give me the desire for your word, Lord. And that prayer is itself a desire. That prayer is itself a longing. And the Lord hears the desire of the humble. You know that, congregation. He hears the desire in your prayers. That's what he hears. It's this longing that he hears. The desire of the humble he hears. And this is a good desire. So let us have desires when we come before God. Not just think of the words we're going to frame. You know, sometimes you can actually sit before God and not even have any words. There's just a desire. That's what he sees. The story David tells the Lord. And then secondly, the sincerity of David in this. Because he says, Behold, Lord, I want you to look into the window of my heart to see this. I want you to know that I'm open about this, that this is true, this is sincere. Usually the Lord's calling us to behold, isn't he? Behold the Lamb of God, behold your God. He's always telling us of his sincerity. He's always presenting to us his truth. He's always asking us to look into it and to see that it's real, that it's true, that it's genuine. The Lord is so good, so open, so genuine. And we ought to be like that to the Lord. We have to be open with him. There's a need for us to be unlike our first father. Because our first father, what did he do when he sinned? He ran away and hid. He closed up the windows. He closed up the doors. He ran into the woods so God wouldn't see. We can't be like that. If there's one thing the Lord wants of us, congregation, it is to be honest with him. To be open. It's very important that we do so. That we don't try to pull the wool over God's eyes about ourselves. You know, you pull the curtains across the window so nobody can see in. We try to do that with God. And the word behold isn't part of our vocabulary when we talk to the Lord about our hearts. And that's foolish. We mustn't be like that. That's foolish. And it's foolish for two reasons. At least two reasons. And the first is that it doesn't stop God seeing within. It doesn't stop him one bit. He still sees within. You can make the curtains as thick as a veil in the temple, and he still sees within. And whether you say behold or not, he sees within. The Lord doesn't need us to say, look, Lord, so that he can see in. He sees everything. Shall not God search this out, the Bible says. He knoweth the secrets of the heart. Can any hide himself in secret places of the earth and God not see? God not know? Can God be ignorant? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to give to every man. Every man's heart I search. I know. So you can't pull the curtains across the window of your heart to God. It's foolish. For God sees anyway. And the other reason is, it's foolish to block up the windows of our heart to God because it is an attempt to deceive him. And the Lord does not like to be deceived. There's one thing he hates is deceit. And he doesn't like us to lie to him. The Lord loves honesty and openness. And on the other hand, he hates hiding and concealing. The Lord just wants us to be honest. Now, it hurts at times. It hurts a lot. Most of the time, this is very humbling for us. Because, you see, there is so much sin within us. And a window for God will mean a lot of confession of sin. It will. And it hurts and it's hard. We know that. It's painful. But it's being honest with God, and that's important to him. It's all right to be honest. Even when it hurts. Even when it humbles. It's all right to be honest with God. He wants you to be honest with him. He wants you to confess. This lack of guile in the spirit is so essential. Psalm 32, blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He's a saved man, he's a justified man, but in his spirit there's no guile. He's a man who's been perfectly honest with God about his sin. You have to be honest with the Lord. You have to be open. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If we say we have no sin, we can pull the curtains and we say we've no sin, but we deceive ourselves, the truth isn't in us. But if we open the curtains, confess our sins, be honest with God, he is so faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. That's a wonderful thing of the gospel. But we do have to be honest with him and say this, behold. So let's be honest with the Lord. It is essential to forgiveness of sins. It is essential to fellowship with him, to walk in that light, painful as it may be at times. So maybe we can't say this verse at the moment. Behold, I've longed after thy precepts. Maybe we have to be honest and say, Lord, I'm just not there yet. That's fine, congregation. That's perfectly fine. For that's being honest with God. Don't despair. Just tell the Lord. Just be honest with God. He will love your honesty. Just confess. Just say sorry. Just ask him for cleansing through Christ your Saviour and for his grace more in your hearts. I'm not preaching to perfect people this morning. I know that. It's not a perfect minister that is preaching to you this morning either. The word is humbling. Seeing David's heart here humbles us. So let us not hesitate to be humble and honest before God. Actually, I think I hear Christ in this verse more than even the psalmist. If we're all perfectly honest and take these words in their absolute and full sense, I think we all come short of them. It is then not just the saint window for God to look into the saint's heart. It's also, I think, the Saviour's window as he comes before his Father, as he did on the earth when he was amongst us. He could perfectly say this, absolutely, completely. And so we can conceive of these words as having ultimate significance in the life of Christ, and I suppose they could be preached in that light. There is a perfection and a fullness in these words that is only perfect in Jesus Christ. There was no one who longed to do God's will like him. There was no one except Christ who gave himself for the life of the world that had these longings. Christ is unmatched in his desires for his Father. What a disappointment the first Adam was. How his desires became corrupted and twisted and perverted in the garden. But not so the last Adam. In the wilderness even, he was no disappointment. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me to finish his work. And so God's law was gloriously in his heart burning. He was just a constant craver to do his Father's will. I delight to do thy will. But we're not emphasizing that this morning. Remember that David is saying this himself too. And we ought to be able to say it. We ought to be able to come before the Lord and say, I've longed for your word, I've a desire for the word, Lord, I've an appetite for the word. We ought to be able to say that in varying degrees, but we must be able to say it. It is true there's remaining sin in us, but the Lord has worked in us. We're not what we were. We have new desires. We have new appetites. Do you remember how Peter was able to say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. It's in my heart. You can see it, Lord. And we have to be able to come before the Lord and be able to tell him something like this in our story, that we do love him and we do desire his word and we want to know him more and we want to be like him more. The third thing is the psalmist's supplication. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Now this is an interesting addition. In the verse, what's going on in his mind? He seems to be spiritually alive. He seems to be a man craving spiritual things. And yet he says, quicken me. What is he thinking? What's going on? Now I can understand him saying that in the context, for example, as we looked at in verse 25. In verse 25, what did he say there? My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken me according to your word. I can understand it there. He's in the dust. He's feeling dead. It's in his soul and he's saying, quicken me. But here he's longing. He's alive. He's like a newborn babe desiring. And yet he says, quicken me in your righteousness. So what's going on in his mind when he says this? Is it not evident that he has a quickening when he has such longings? The answer is, it appears to me, that while God's people live and have spiritual life and have spiritual desires, there's always room for improvement. There's always room to be livelier for God. We can't be lively enough for the Lord. So while he's living, he wants to be livelier for the Lord. It's a bit like verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. He walks in the way. He walks in the fear of the Lord. But he wants to run. I think it's a bit like that here. He has the spiritual desires. He has the walk. But he wants a deeper stirring. He wants an even greater quickening. He wants a greater warmth in his heart, a more fervent vigor in his soul. Well, what does the Bible say? Lively stones. Is that the word that Peter uses? Lively. Lively stones. We want to be lively. You see, David is a good saint. He is actually the best of saints. But even the best of saints need quickened. And so quickening is one of David's frequent prayers in this psalm. I counted, I think, 9 times when he asked the Lord for quickening. That's quite a number. Now, I don't think any of us are as lively as David, the man after God's own heart. And yet he prays for quickening. How much more ought we to pray for it then? Christ's early disciples were good souls. They had life. But you know, one of the things the Lord had to rebuke them for was their slowness. Especially their slowness to believe. Remember how he said after his resurrection to some of them, he says, "Oh, fools and slow of heart. You're too slow to believe. You're not lively enough. You don't have that vigor in your heart. That fervency of faith. Slow." David is having desires, but there's still a slowness. Quicken me. You see, our flesh is always lusting against the spirit. The spiritual temperature would decline, and it does decline in the world, especially if we get away from the word, get away from the Lord. The temperature goes down very, very quick. And you have to keep an eye on your spiritual thermometer. And when you do, I tell you, you'll be saying, quicken me, plenty of times. We get cold. We become lukewarm so easily. We cannot maintain the spiritual pace in the world. We need the input of God's Spirit all the time. Thomas Merton said, grace in the heart is like fire in wet wood. That was one way to put it. The devil and the world is always pouring water on us. And as well as that, our heart is a pretty wet thing anyway. Oh, God's grace has a lot to deal with. But it does, and it can do. Keep pouring it in, Lord. Quicken me. Quicken me. You remember how Bunyan, I've often referred to this story. I'm going to do it again. I know you all know it, but I'm going to do it again. Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress in the House of Interpreter, how the Christian, he was brought into one of the rooms in that big house, and there was a fire burning against a wall. A man, he's pouring water onto the fire. There's a man there in the room, he's pouring water onto the fire. But you know what happens? The fire doesn't go out. It gets bigger and brighter, and it you know, it breezes up. It's a kind of a mystery. What's happening? And Christian's very puzzled. And then he brings him to the other side of the fire, and he sees there's another man in there, and he's pouring oil into the fire. That's pretty more effective than the water. He's pouring oil into the fire, and it's just keeping going. Bunyan was so wise. That was some dream he had whenever he got up and wrote that book. It was of the Lord, of course. Well, we need the Spirit. Quicken me. Keep pouring the oil in, Lord. That's why David says it 9 times. Keep pouring it in, Lord. Quicken me. So you have to pray that, child of God, for this quickening. The holy longings are necessary, but also the Lord pouring in the quickening so that will intensify and not wane, not decrease. So maintain your spiritual desires by all means. And especially ask for the Lord's quickening. Give me a desire for your word again, Lord. Give me a greater desire for your word again. Increase the addiction to the truth, Lord. Ask him. Give me a longing for your house. Give me a longing for the things of God. Give me a longing to do your will, Lord. Help me. You do endeavor to obey the Lord, I know that. But we can all do it more quickly, and we can do it more fervently, and we can do it more frequently. But only the Lord by his Spirit will enable us so to do. So you see why this supplication is added. He doesn't just say, quicken me. He says, quicken me in thy righteousness. In thy righteousness, quicken me. This is a quality in the Lord that he's pleading. You'll notice he's not pleading his righteousness. He's not saying, Lord, this is a wonderful desire I have. Quicken me, therefore. You know, I'm so righteous and holy, Lord, I just deserve quickened. No, it's the quality in God that he is referring to. Lord, you're righteous. You have to quicken me, Lord, because you're righteous. We can't plead our own righteousness. Because we're poor and needy, and we can never forget that, but we can plead the Lord's righteousness. We can plead the Lord's attributes. Oh, that's a way to pray. That's a way to take hold of God. We can plead his mercy. We can plead his grace. And sometimes David does. He says, quicken me in your loving kindness. Quicken me in your grace and mercy. He sometimes does plead that attribute. But here he pleads the righteousness of God. In your righteousness, Lord, you have to quicken me. Why did he do that? Well, he knows that the Lord is righteous and does righteous. And it would be righteous for the Lord to quicken him. Why is it righteous for the Lord to quicken his people? Because he has promised them quickening. That's why. What is the promise of our salvation? He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. The child of God has life. Life into eternity. Life in all its fullness. Life in all its meaning. Life without end. Life in abundance. Life that never ceases. Life that never wanes. Life that never deteriorates. That's the life that God has promised us in our faith in Jesus Christ. And we can say to the Lord at any time, Lord, in your righteousness, because you're a God of truth, the God who has promised me life, quicken me. Quicken me. Let me enjoy what is mine in the covenant through faith in Christ. In your righteousness, Lord, do it. This resurrection life of thy Son, Jesus Christ, which is mine in my union to him, grant more of it unto me, for whom the Son quickeneth is quickened indeed. The first Adam was made a living soul. Death came. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And we are in that last Adam. And there's one thing that we have entitlement to. His life. The Christ life. The abundant life. And we are right to ask the Lord to quicken us. And we can expect it as well. If we ask in sincerity and in truth and in faith, the Lord's promise cannot fail. He has promised life to his people, and they shall enjoy it in its abundance. Now, we know that it won't be experienced in all its fullness until the new heavens and the new earth. But the Lord has plenty of foretastes of it here now, if we look to him. So the Lord quickens his people for his great name's sake.